Have you always thought the Old Testament feasts were only for Israel? If so, you may be in for a surprise today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. Today, our Bible teacher is Dr. Gary Hedrick, president of CJF Ministries. Gary's topic for this current series of studies is the Spring Feasts of the Lord. He's explaining how the seven feasts in Leviticus 23 are not only significant in themselves, but also how they collectively form an exciting outline of God's prophetic plan leading up to the second coming. I'll be back at the close of the program to tell you about our special offer. And now, with today's installment, here's Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. It's good to have you with us today as we continue this study of the Feasts of the Lord. And if you have a Bible handy, why don't you turn to Leviticus chapter 23, and you can follow along with us. And we've been talking about the Sabbath, and we've spent quite a bit of time on this, but I think it's important because we don't normally consider the Sabbath to be one of the seven feasts of the Lord. But it's interesting that in this listing of the feasts in Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is the very first thing he mentions right here in verse 3. We talked about that on the last program. Even though the Sabbath was actually given to Israel a few chapters earlier, he mentions it again here. It's like the Lord is saying, I'm giving you these seven feasts, these holy convocations, these divine appointments, seven of them each year. I'm giving these to you, but I want you to understand that these seven feasts, these seven Moedim, do not take the place of Shabbat. They don't take the place of the Sabbath. In fact, they are themselves Sabbaths, in a sense. Now, isn't it interesting that God is so protective and so possessive of the Sabbath that he mentions it again here to make sure they don't think it's going to be replaced by the feasts? The Sabbath was the central focus of virtually everything in the Old Testament. And here in Leviticus 23, he's not going to leave any question in anyone's mind about the status of his Sabbath. It is just as important as the feasts themselves. In fact, did you know that the most horrible tragedies in Israel's history have been the result of her failure to observe the Sabbath laws? You see, you must remember that observing the Sabbath was more than just observing the weekly Saturday Sabbath. There was also a sabbatical year, every 7 years, when the ground was supposed to lie fallow and slaves went free. No crops were to be planted. And then every 50th year was a Jubilee year, Ha Yovel in Hebrew. And on Ha Yovel, four things were supposed to happen. Slaves were to be freed, the land was supposed to rest, debts were forgiven, and land reverted to its original ownership. And you see, this would have required that Israel's entire economy be built around the Sabbath, because a piece of property would be worth more if it was still 30 years before the Jubilee year than it would be worth if it was only 6 months until the Jubilee year. I mean, who's going to pay a lot of money for something that he's only going to own for a few months? So the Sabbath would have become this central feature of Israel's social and economic life. Not only that, but as far as we know, no other nation in the ancient world followed a system like this. And that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted his people to be different. He wanted them to be distinct from the world. And by the way, he still wants his people to be separated from the world. Not separated in the sense of being isolated from the world, but separated in the sense of being insulated from the world. You see, once you become a believer in Yeshua or Jesus, your life changes. We don't change overnight necessarily, but a process begins that conforms us into the image of the Messiah. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, the Bible says. We are a new creation and all things have become new, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. That means when it comes to spiritual things, we don't think like the world thinks. We have different priorities, different affections, different values, and a different perspective. And the Sabbath of the Lord in the Old Testament were one way the Lord set his people apart from the rest of the world. They were his people, and he wanted everyone to know they were his people, and that's one reason he gave them the Sabbaths. Now, if we had time, I could show you the many benefits of following the sabbatical laws. It would have had the effect of eliminating poverty in Israel, abolishing social classes, cutting the heart out of slavery, and raising the standard of living for everyone. But it required a step of faith because it was not logical to the natural mind. I mean, try telling a farmer even today that he'll do better in the long run if he only plants crops 6 out of 7 years. He'll tell you he can't afford to let the land rest for an extra year. So he pumps the land full of chemicals to keep it from becoming depleted. But believe it or not, there are some very good reasons for the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. But you know what? There is no record anywhere of Israel ever observing either the sabbatical year, every 7 years, or the year of Jubilee, HaYovel, every 50 years. Now, they got pretty good at observing the weekly Sabbath every Saturday. In fact, it became almost a science to them, to the rabbis. The Talmud has literally hundreds and even thousands of Sabbath regulations. Everything you can or cannot do from sundown on Friday evening until sundown on Saturday evening, they've got it down to a science. But there is no record that the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee were ever observed, at least by the whole nation. They probably thought they couldn't afford it. And we'd probably think the same thing today. You know, we have Christians today who think they can't afford to support the Lord's work. They think they can't afford to support the local church. They can't afford to spend time with their children, even though God says it's our responsibility to pass the torch to the next generation and to the next generation after that. Mom and Dad both think they have to work 80 hours a week so they can drive a fancy car or so they can live in an exclusive neighborhood and keep up with the Joneses. And if you suggest that maybe they should take less demanding jobs for less pay and spend more time with their family, what'll they say? We can't afford it. You see, we're not really all that different from the ancient Israelites. They couldn't afford to obey God either. But let me tell you something. It always costs more to disobey God than it does to obey Him. Let me say that again. It always costs more to disobey God than it does to obey Him. It's like when the children of Israel sent the spies into Canaan. The Lord told them to take the land, but they decided they knew better. And so what happened was that for every day the spies spent in the land of Canaan, the children of Israel spent 1 year wandering in the wilderness. 40 days of seeing the beauty and bounty of the land turned into 40 years of wandering through the desert. 40 days into 40 years. That's the formula for accountability. 1 day of illumination multiplied by disobedience equals 1 year of judgment. So for that generation of Israel, 1 day ended up costing them a whole year. That was the cost of disobedience. And my goodness, just look at the high price Israel has paid for her disobedience. She never observed the sabbatical years or the Jubilee years. She never let the land rest. She never let it revert back to its original ownership. She never forgave the debts that we know of. So she was driven from her land. We call it the diaspora. She was exiled from the land and sent out into the midst of the nations, Hagoyim, the nations. It was like sending sheep out among wolves. People talk about the expulsion from Spain and the pogroms in Russia and the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. And I'm the last person who would ever say anything to minimize the horror of these tragedies. We go to the Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem, in Jerusalem almost every year. And every time we go, It is a heartbreaking experience, a moving experience. You never get used to it. You never become accustomed to it. You never adjust to it. But why did the Holocaust happen? Why did the expulsions happen? Why did Jewish people die in the Crusades? Why did thousands perish in the pogroms in Russia 100 years ago? The answer is because they were not in their land. God had driven them out of Israel 2,600 years ago and then again in AD 70. That's why these persecutions took place. And the Lord warned Israel about what would happen. He told them ahead of time. And if you're still in Leviticus 23, you might want to mark your place there and flip over just a few pages to Leviticus 26 and verse 32. He tells them what will happen if they disobey the Sabbath laws. He says, I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. Verse 33, I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, for the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. And you want to know something? This warning became a prophecy, because that's exactly what happened. Israel was in the land for 490 years before the Babylonian captivity. So when God sent the Babylonians in judgment, Israel ended up spending how long in the Babylonian captivity? 70 years. Why were they exiled for 70 years? Because that is what they owed. Remember, they were supposed to let the land rest 1 year out of every seven. And if you divide 490 by seven, the answer is 70. So Israel was paying back the years they owed, the years they were supposed to let the land rest. Remember what we said? It always costs more to disobey God than it does to obey Him. The children of Israel have paid a high price for their disobedience of the Sabbath laws. And the reason God was so protective and possessive of the Sabbath observances was that they were prophetic. They pointed forward to two things. First, they pointed prophetically to the spiritual rest we enjoy in Yeshua the Messiah, and second, they point prophetically to the physical rest this whole world will one day enjoy when the Messiah rules his millennial kingdom from his throne in Jerusalem. Well, we're out of time. We'll continue on the next program. Until then, this is your friend Gary Hedrick saying God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us, whether you're listening from home, at work, or in your car. This is Messianic Perspectives, and you've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick talking about the Spring Feasts of the Lord, the seven annual meetings outlined in Leviticus 23. We have all the programs in this series available in a set of three CDs packaged in an attractive binder for a suggested contribution of just $18. That's the three CDs entitled The Spring Feasts of the Lord by Dr. Gary Hedrick for a gift of only $18. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on the Spring Feasts of the Lord. Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.